Well, good morning, church. Do hope you are doing well this morning. Certainly anticipating being back together in person. Grateful that we're able to be together in time, if not in place. But definitely looking forward to that. And if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and open to Matthew chapter 6 as we continue to study the Lord's Prayer together. Well, one of my childhood memories is my dad's record player. And the good old-fashioned vinyl records that he would play. And occasionally, from time to time, he would put one on and turn it up as loud as he could tolerate. Even if it was more than the rest of the family could tolerate. Things like Juice Newton and Emmylou Harris and the Moody Blues and Roy Orbison and all of those kinds of things. But there's one in particular that I distinctly remember because of the lyrics that were seared into my memory. It's a Janis Joplin song where she sings, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?" And I remember hearing that, thinking that's a really odd prayer request. And it seared itself into my mind. And then throughout the song, she goes on to ask the Lord for a handful of other things, for a color TV, for a night on the town. And at one point, she sings, "I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round." And I thought of that song. I thought of that song as we've come to verse 11 today. And Jesus tells us that when you pray, pray like this: "Give us this day our daily bread." What are we asking for when we pray that? What are we asking for? We asking for a Mercedes with good old Janis? What are we asking for? And why are we asking what we're asking for? Right, is it because we feel the need for the Lord to prove something to us? Right, what are we asking for? Why are we asking what we're asking for? And so this morning, we want to allow God's Word to continue to instruct us, to allow Jesus to continue to instruct us about prayer. So let's read verses 9 through 11 again. And Jesus said, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Father, we do pray and we do ask that you would now instruct us through your word as your Son taught us about prayer. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you enliven and illuminate our hearts and our minds, Lord, to not only understand, but to believe and to be changed by the things you desire us to know this morning. So we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're going to look at verse 11 specifically this morning by asking those two questions, right? What are we asking for when we pray this? What are we asking for, and why are we asking for it, right? What are we asking for, and why are we asking for it? So first of all, what, right? What are we asking for here? And before we answer that specifically, it actually might be helpful to make a broader observation about how Jesus structures, right, this entire prayer. Because in verses 9 and 10, the focus is entirely Godward, right? On who God is, on what God is, right? And we're looking to God and we're saying, it's your name, your kingdom, your will, right? But then in verses 11, 12, and 13, there's a shift that happens, right? There's a shift in pronouns, right? There's a shift that focuses on not your, but us, right? Our daily bread, our debts, our debtors, right? And the temptations and the evils that we face, right? So after starting with who God is and putting all of our focus there, Jesus' instruction on prayer now shifts focus on who we are, right? To us and our own lives personally, and individually. And actually, when it comes to these last three petitions, right, verse 11, 12, and 13, that really our whole life can be found in these three requests, right, that they cover both body and soul, right, both our physical and our spiritual needs, right? Our whole life is in view here, right? And as one commentator put it, he says, when we understand what we're really asking in these verses, right, verse 11, 12, and 13, when we really understand what we're asking, then we begin to understand what really makes life, life. What really makes life, life. So with that in mind, when we come to verse 11, we can now ask, so what are we really asking for here when we pray this? When we pray, give us this day, our daily bread. What are we asking? And I believe what we're asking for is, Lord, give us whatever is necessary to truly live. Whatever is necessary for us to truly live. Lord, what do I need this day to truly live? My Father in heaven, give me that. Give me that. Give me what I need today to truly live, right? We're asking God for the daily provision of all that we need to truly live. That's what we're asking, right? Beginning, obviously, I think, with our physical life, right? Our physical, our temporal existence, right? The things that keep us physically alive, right? Which includes material things. Things like food, shelter, right? Things like our homes, our health, our jobs, right? In fact, when Jesus said this in verse 11, it probably would have landed on those who were listening to him, right, with far greater weight and impact than perhaps it lands on many of us today, right? Because many of those listening to Jesus who were living there with him in that day literally worked. They literally worked for daily wages. Right, so if you didn't work and you didn't get your daily wages, then you didn't get your daily bread. And you didn't eat. And neither did your family. Right, so when Jesus talked about praying for your daily bread, right, they understood he meant praying about your daily need. Right, daily provision, right, the provision to eat, to live, to survive. Father, give me what I need today in order to do that. Eat, to live, to survive. So let me just ask you this morning, what are your physical needs today? Right? What are the material needs that you have in your life? It's not inappropriate to think about those things. Our physical needs, our material needs, right? Is there some kind of daily provision that you need? Right? Is there anything going on in your life right now that is impacting and affecting your ability to live, to survive on a daily basis? Jesus says to you, come, pray, right? Come to your Father, pray to your Father about that, for that. Father, give me this day my daily bread. Father, today, give me what I need to be physically sustained. Father, I need sustenance for today. And Jesus says, whatever it is, you come and you bring that to your Father. Now, of course, right, Jesus knew that this prayer was about more than just physical and material need, that it was also about spiritual need, right? Bread in the ancient world, what was sort of the fundamental staple of daily sustenance, right? It represented that. Bread symbolized life. And of course, Jesus knew that. Jesus understood that. Right, so if you'll remember the story, right, in John's gospel, in John chapter 6, where John connects, right, the feeding of the 5,000. You remember Jesus miraculously multiplies the bread, right, and the fish, and provides for the physical life of the people. He sustains them, you know, physically, right? John in his gospel immediately connects that miracle with this lengthy interaction that Jesus then has with the people. Right, where Jesus goes to the other side of the Sea of Galilee and the people follow him over to the other side. And Jesus says the reason that they followed him is because he gave them bread. and that he fed them, he sustained them physically, that they enjoyed the food. And it's a pretty good deal hanging around Jesus. He feeds you, you get your daily bread. But then it opened the door for Jesus to then say to them, I am the bread. I'm the bread, right? I'm the bread of life. I'm the true bread that comes down from heaven. I'm the true bread that the Father has sent, right? I'm the living bread that one may eat and never hunger. I am the bread that leads to eternal life, right? Jesus says, I am that bread. So when Jesus says what he says here in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, what do you think he had in his mind? See, in his mind, right, bread had to do with not just body, but soul. Right, not just our daily material needs, but our daily spiritual needs. Father, give me this day what I need to survive spiritually. Father, feed me with that bread. Right, the living bread, the bread that I need for spiritual sustenance. Father, I need that, right? Which is then reflected in verse 12 and 13. Right, and our need for the forgiveness of sin and victory over temptation and deliverance from evil, right? Those are spiritual things. Those are spiritual needs. That's where Jesus goes. So we see this prayer then for daily bread being about our physical need, our material need, our spiritual need. And it's amazing because with just a very brief economy of words, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is telling us that when we come to the Father in prayer, we are asking that he would provide us with all that we need to truly live, both materially and spiritually, physically and spiritually. Lord, give me bread that I need physically, spiritually. Father, give me what I need that feeds my body and that feeds my soul. That's what we're asking. Now, that sort of brings us to our second question this morning, and that is why. Why pray like this? Right? Why are we asking for this? Point number two. And you might not immediately think, I'm not sure how that's a relevant question. Maybe it seems a little obvious, but the fact is it's sort of an interesting question because didn't Jesus say back in verse 8 that your Father knows what you need before you ask him? So why even ask if he already knows what you need? And actually, if I keep on reading in Matthew chapter 6, isn't Jesus about to tell me not to worry about what I eat and drink and wear and food and clothing and all of these kinds of things? Because again, verse 32, my heavenly Father already knows that I need them. So if he already knows what I need, then what is the point of asking? But the problem with that line of reasoning is that it completely misses the point of what it means to have God as a father. A theologian, E.M. Bounds, simply said, God is the Christian's father. Asking and giving are a part of that kind of relationship. And that's so true. Right? Is this not what a child does with their father? This is the way of a child with a father and the way of a father with a child, right? So if we're not supposed to worry about all of the things that we need, then how do you go about battling that worry? Well, you go to your father who already knows exactly what you need. So thank God we have a father in heaven who already knows everything that we truly need. Thank God for that. Because far from being an excuse not to pray, it actually gives us every reason in the world to pray. Because when we ask him to give us what we need, he's not scrambling around trying to figure out what that is. He's not scratching his head wondering, I'm not sure quite what to do. Maybe they need this, maybe they need that. No, he knows. He knows already exactly what we need. So we don't have to worry when we ask him that he's somehow going to get it wrong that he's going to miss something, that he's going to overlook something, that he's going to forget something. No, when we ask for what we need, we can trust that the Father knows. Thank God he knows. The comfort that brings to the child that the Father knows, when I ask, he'll know what to do. So our asking is not to inform him. Rather, it is to keep us in close contact with him. It's meant to deepen our relationship with him, right? Children are meant to be close to their fathers. Right? Think about the impact of that just between an earthly child and an earthly father, right? When a child has a healthy relationship with their father, what does it do? It brings peace. There's a security that the child feels. There's a comfort. There's a confidence. It brings a vitality and a life to that child. That child is able to function in a much better, much healthier way. They're close to their father. It's no different with our heavenly Father. And this is why we ask that our Father in heaven would give us our daily bread, even though he already knows exactly what we need. Because it keeps us close to our Father. It does something more to us than just provide for daily need. Right? Or, to put it another way, as Martin Lloyd-Jones has put it, he writes, another way is to put it like this. Life, in a physical sense, is the basis upon which all the rest depends, so I must pray about my physical existence. But the moment I do, the moment I do so, I come to realize that the physical is only one side of my life. There is another side. For I remember that our Lord said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And he also has said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Therefore, in praying for my physical existence, though I start there, I then begin to learn that what really makes life life is walking in fellowship and communion with my God. And brothers and sisters, that is exactly what praying like this does for us. Right, the reason we pray and we ask God to provide for needs that he already knows all about is because that is what enables us to truly live. Right, because it's walking with him. It's being near to him. It's being close to him. And what enables us to truly live is walking with him. There's another side to life, Lloyd-Jones says. What makes life life is a nearness to our God. See, the trouble with God just giving us everything we need without us ever asking him is that it puts us in grave danger of benefiting from and using all of his gifts and all of his blessing and all of his provision, but then totally forgetting about him. And the testimony of Scripture is that nothing could be more dangerous for us. Right? In fact, that is exactly how we destroy both body and soul. Right? Create distance between us and our Father. Create separation between us and our Father. But when we pray and ask our Father to give us our daily bread that meets the needs of both our body and our soul, then we live. Then we live because it's what keeps us close to him. Keeps us walking with him. Keeps us dependent upon him. Dependent, right? So in fact, what it does is it just reminds us of reality. When we pray and we ask for our daily bread, it keeps us in tune with reality. It reminds us of the true state of affairs. Right, to quote J.I. Packer, who I quoted this back when we studied prayer in James chapter 5, but it's worth restating here. He says, in prayer, you ask for things. Why? Because you recognize that God is the author and source of all the good that you have had already and all the good that you hope for in the future. Right? This is the fundamental philosophy of Christian prayer. a humble acknowledgement of helplessness and dependence. When we are on our knees, we know that it is not we who control the world. It is not in our power, therefore, to supply our needs by our own independent efforts. Every good thing that we desire for ourselves and for others must be sought from God, and it will come, if it comes at all, as a gift from His hands. Right? What do you have that you have not received? Paul had to remind the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 4:7. Right? And then Jesus said in John chapter 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? Talk about an ultimate reality check. You can't do anything. Jesus says, the problem with that is I'm not sure most of us really believe that. I think for many of us, we could wake up on any particular morning and think, you know what, there's plenty of things I could do without Jesus. I'm not that dependent on Jesus. Now, of course, Jesus is talking about spiritual growth and spiritual fruit and spiritual needs in that context, but even then, right, it still highlights the fact that we are far more dependent upon Him than we are often conscious of. Right, that we tend to think that we are far more self-sufficient than we really are. Right, oftentimes we are out of tune with reality. Right, and I am sure, probably, I would have to assume, I mean, I'm sure living in affluent, middle-class, suburban America, I'm assuming that probably tends to numb us, right, to how great our need for God to provide us with our daily bread really is. We don't wake up every day feeling that. Now, I mentioned earlier how those living in Jesus' day probably felt that. Right? They probably felt the weight of Jesus' words more acutely than we do. But the reality between us and them is really not that much different. The reality between us and them is essentially the same because God's name is still Jehovah. It's still Yahweh. It is still the great I am that I am, which means that He is still the only truly self-existent one, self-sufficient one, who truly exists independently of everyone and everything else, right? Who exists in Himself and by Himself. Who then created and upholds and sustains everything else by the word of His power. And therefore, everything else owes every single moment of its existence to Him. And therefore, we pray, give us this day our daily bread, if for no other reason than to simply remind ourselves that our time, our health, our lives, our livelihoods, our very existence are all in His hands, that we depend upon Him for everything, and that we could not live for even a single day if He did not provide for our daily, daily needs. Not occasional needs. Daily. Every moment. Every day. Job 34, verse 14 and 15 says that if God were to set His heart to it, right, that if God so willed and gathered back to Himself His spirit and His breath, that all flesh would perish and all mankind would return to the dust. That is the reality of the situation. But brothers and sisters, what God has willed is not that all flesh would perish or that all mankind would return to the dust, but rather what God has willed is that we would come and ask. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, my life is in Your hands. Therefore, whatever it is I truly need to live, give me that. And because You already know exactly what I need to live, I will trust whatever Your hand provides. And brothers and sisters, really, the amazing thing in all of this is that it is his great pleasure to answer those prayers. Right? Because Jesus tells us, and we'll look at this later, but Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 11 that the Father delights in providing for his children. Right? It's really an amazing picture that Jesus paints, right, from verse 9 and 10 to verse 11. Right, that the same God who is the creator and the sustainer of the universe, right, whose name is to be hallowed above all other things in the universe, right, whose coming kingdom and sovereign will are the great unstoppable forces in the universe, right, that same God is our Father. He's our Father, and the heart of the Father is to provide for his children. The kingdom is not so grand that he is oblivious to us. That in his perfect, almighty godness, he takes note of us. His name is hallowed, and yet he cares. The smallest needs to the greatest needs, it is his great pleasure to meet the needs of his children. That's why John Piper can say, God is the kind of God who delights most deeply, not in making demands, but in meeting needs. Prayer is his delight because prayer shows the reaches of our poverty and the riches of his grace. Right? Prayer is that wonderful transaction where the wealth of God, the wealth of God's glory is magnified and the wants of our soul are satisfied. And I love that. I love that God delights in answering prayers for our needs because it magnifies the wealth of his supply. And he's glorified in it. I love that. And brothers and sisters, we know this to be true. We know this to be true because that same God took on flesh and he entered into our lives. He stepped into our need. He experienced our poverty by becoming poor himself. And he experienced what it was like to be hungry, to be tempted, to be weak, to be needy himself. And when he did, he revealed to us the heart of the Father. Right? Not only by inviting us to come and to pray and to bring all of our needs to our Father, but also by showing us the Father's willingness to actually meet those needs. Because the testimony of Scripture is that day after day, Jesus went about doing good. Healing the oppressed, caring for the poor, strengthening the weak, meeting need after need after need after need after need after need. Materially, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. There's no need too small. No need too great. Right? To spend just a day with Jesus, just a day, was to see the Father's heart. Right? And it was to see the infinite wealth of the Father's supply reaching into and meeting the great depths of our need. That's what Jesus reveals to us. Right? So Jesus can say to us now that when you pray, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Magnify the wealth of your supply. Father, magnify the riches of your grace by meeting the depths of my need, my daily need. So, brothers and sisters, let us bring every need, every physical need, every spiritual need, every care that we have. Let us trust the heart of our Father. Let us stay close to him. Let us walk with him. And every day let us pray, Father, all that I need on this day to truly live, I pray that your hand would truly provide. That is my prayer. That is our prayer. And Father, I pray now on behalf of all of your people, Lord, all that they need, all that we need, all that we need to truly live and truly survive, I pray that your hand would truly, graciously provide. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's close by singing together.